You're with us for the morning show as we look at the problem of intimate partner violence and what breakthroughs are working to bring healing. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a sensitive conversation, so do please take care. The Sojourner Family Peace Center in Milwaukee, as we said earlier, recently launched a 24-hour text message hotline telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the service will allow people who lack privacy to get help quickly and discreetly. Do you know someone who may be in an abusive situation? How have you tried to step in? What questions do you have about being an ally? Join in 800-642-1234. Tia Love is a domestic violence advocate for the OSHA Project based in Milwaukee. She provides services to victims of domestic and sexual violence and trafficking, and she leads the Sister Circle support groups. Tia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, could we walk in your footsteps here for a moment? What might a typical day be like for you as a domestic violence advocate?
It varies. There are several different types of typical days, depending on, you know, kind of what's going on in the country, what's going on locally. But I'm, you know, constantly, I engage in direct service. So you could say my typical day might look like getting a referral once our office manager gets a call on our hotline, and, you know, she'll refer out to one of the advocates. And so she'll send a message, hey, we got this person who needs help with this. And then I make the connection. Yeah. I call, you know, hey, what's going on? I got your referral. What are you needing help with? And it kind of takes off from there, and they all need different things. Of course, in all situations, some form of abuse is present, but oftentimes that's not the presenting problem. And I was listening to the show earlier, and one of the ladies was talking about how it's the basic needs that they often come in search of: housing, food, resources for their children. All these things are not necessarily symptoms, but a part of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Results of the abuse and the, you know, the negative relationship.
Kind of the ripple effect of it.
Exactly. Providing services after finding out what the problem is.
I'm really curious. You also lead the Sister Circle support groups. What are they like? Yeah.
It is a space, an informal space for people, specifically women and women who have been abused, or women who are affected by people, you know, situations of abuse, to come together and just fellowship. Sometimes we talk about abuse. Sometimes we talk about things that have nothing to do with abuse, at least not directly. It's really just a safe space to come and build fellowship and find connections and relationships that I believe people who are abused typically don't have.
Have you been able to make those connections and relationships happen in the pandemic?
Not really, no. Sister Circle shut down last year, obviously, because of the pandemic. And it hasn't really been able to kick off virtually. Mm. It's definitely something that's more beneficial in person because of the weight of what's being discussed.
Yeah. And certainly being in close proximity to someone where you can see them eye to eye and they're in your space, that can have such an impact, I would imagine.
It does. Because, you know, we come together, we eat, and it's, you know, and that's just a hard thing to recreate over a Zoom call or a Google Meet, you know, to create a space safe enough that someone feels like they can share something that they might not have shared anywhere else. And also, a lot of times that Sister Circle is an opportunity for someone to get out of their home and get somewhere safe where they can talk about those things.
Your organization is culturally specific, focused on helping African Americans. And I'm wondering, why do you think culturally specific domestic violence services and programs are really important?
Well, people in my community have a general distrust of most systems that are in place, whether they're to serve and protect or, you know, to enforce.
Yeah.
So oftentimes when a person is being abused or, you know, they feel like their life is in danger, they don't feel like it's, you know, it's almost choosing the lesser of two evils. And it's just like, I could call the police or, you know, reach out to someone about this and seek help. But then that invites all of these other evils, quote unquote, into my life. So like a lot of my clients, you know, when they did reach out to the police, they're oftentimes seen as the aggressor and they get arrested or their children get taken away. So culturally specific programs are important, not just for my people, but for, you know, across cultures, because there are things that I believe the wider culture, you know, can't understand without necessary context and information, or can't relate to, which I think is also important in making a connection to help somebody with something as serious as domestic violence and sexual assault.
Tia, you bring something up that I'm wondering about as you talk about bringing in the authorities or the police. And, you know, with Wisconsin statute makes arrests mandatory in domestic abuse cases where, you know, any crime has been committed. How do you feel like about that? And what effect does that have on your work?
The statute for me is kind of, it's a double-edged sword. Because I do agree, you know, and before the statute was put in place, obviously it was very easy for an abuser to return home after the police left and just, you know, re-traumatize and abuse again. So I do think that mandatory arrest can be positive. But I think in situations where things aren't being approached from a cultural perspective, that it's very easy for a police officer who isn't trained in cultural competence to look at a Black woman and not see her as a victim, because she can come off as an aggressor, or she doesn't, you know, she doesn't present as what a victim is, as what we're told a victim should look like. So sometimes they're both getting arrested, or sometimes, you know, she might be the one who called the police, but the police come and she, you know, she's yelling and she's aggressive. So they misconstrue and she gets arrested. So it's a double-edged sword for me. But oftentimes it's not even something that I really deal with, because most of my clients don't call the police.
Yeah. Tia Love is with us, a domestic violence advocate for the OSHA Project in Milwaukee, based in Milwaukee. What questions do you have about domestic violence, assault, abusive relationships? 800-642-1234. Bradamonte is with us from Waukesha. Hi, Bradamonte.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. What would you like to add?
From my point of view, one of the great impediments for women to be able to safely leave these kinds of relationships is family court. I know from being in group in multiple women's centers, that's the biggest concern. There was a study done for the Department of Justice by Dr. Sanders, who found that women had bad outcomes. They tended to be pathologized for the PTSD symptoms that they had as a result of abuse, and tended to lose custody. Shared custody is also a common outcome, because abuse is just not taken seriously by family courts. Dr. Joan Myers of Georgetown did a follow-up on his study that was more comprehensive and got the same outcomes. So women are staying in abusive relationships because they're afraid of where their children will end up. And people who do successfully leave are not able to protect their children, because abuse is not taken seriously when it comes to placement decisions in family court.
Bradamonte, thank you for your perspective. Tia, what do you make of those comments about family court?
I 100% agree. Almost 99% of the clients I've served in my time at OSHA have had their children removed from the home because of domestic violence, which to me is a gross miscarriage of justice. You know, a woman finally seeking help against someone who is causing her and her children harm, and family court's response is to remove her children from the home, which, you know, further traumatizes, and it's never made sense to me.
Breaks apart the relationship.
Yeah.
Let's bring in a police officer, Joel, joining us from Onalaska. Joel, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the distrust, and I can totally appreciate certain populations, special populations, especially as victims, distrust of systems and sometimes law enforcement specifically. I can appreciate that. But I wanted to also lift up at least my local experience that resource providers are very careful with confidentiality and protecting victims' information and names and all that stuff. So I feel like they do a really good job. Maybe the guest can lift up her agency's work to protect confidentiality to help people feel comfortable reaching out. Just wanted to lift that up. Quick question too, sorry. What kind of communication did you get from your local law enforcement for referring cases and potential victims and stuff?
Joel, thank you. Tia, go ahead.
So we don't typically get our referrals from the police. I know Sojourner gets referrals through districts. I'm not sure which ones, but we don't get our referrals through the police typically. It hasn't happened frequently enough for it to be a thing.
Okay. And what about confidentiality that Joel was saying there, that, you know, resource providers are really careful about protecting people's identity?
I mean, it's standard practice to keep, you know, and not discuss what a client tells you unless they give you the right to do so. When you're helping someone who's in a domestic violence relationship, you often do have to pull in other systems and resources that your organization might not have or have access to. And so in those cases, you always get permission from your client. Hey, I want to be able to speak on your behalf to this organization to get you the resources that you need, but only about, you know, certain specifics of your case, not everything that you told.
We have Tia Love with us, who is with the ASHA Project in Milwaukee, providing community-based African-American culturally specific services for victims of domestic violence and sex trafficking. Where are you on the path of healing from interpersonal violence? Do you find a stigma towards survivors? Are you believed? Have you been blamed before for not leaving the abuser? How did that feel? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Tia Love on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're honing in on domestic violence, how to break the cycle. Tia Love is with the ASHA Project in Milwaukee. Its programs and outreach work to eliminate gender-based violence and the sexual exploitation of women and children in African-American communities. Tia Love is an advocate supporting domestic abuse survivors, and still time to talk about solutions in your community, how you're involved. 800-642-1234. Tia is with us for about 9 more minutes. Tia, how long might you work on a case, or when do you realize you see resolution in a client? How does that work?
So there's not a typical time frame, because everyone's needs are different, of course. You know, some people need one thing that can be resolved within a couple of hours. Some people require constant connection and counseling, and they need someone to talk to. So it could be 6 months, years. But the client lets you know when they're ready. And and the more you do the work, the more you can see, okay, this person has taken the necessary steps, has developed a plan, you know, for what comes next, and knows that if they do fall back into old patterns of behavior that might be harmful, that I'm still here, because this is not just a one-off situation. And I'm not here to judge you if you go back. I'm not here to judge you if you get into another abusive relationship. I'm here to support and reinforce safety for you and your kids. So,
because, you know, there is that perception of judging and shame, that, you know, why didn't they leave the relationship sooner, or, you know, why couldn't they go? How do you work through that, those feelings?
It helps to have personal experience, and also just, you know, understanding the true horrors of domestic violence, because it's not just about putting your hands on someone. Domestic violence is 100% mental and psychological. And I think that the average person just doesn't understand that. So it is very easy to look, to be on the outside looking at someone's situation and saying, well, if it was me, I would just leave. And the person in that situation probably felt the same before they got there. So keeping that at the forefront and realizing that oftentimes, especially for Black women, victims don't see themselves as victims, which makes it that much harder to leave. So that's how I keep, you know, I keep those thoughts at the forefront when dealing with, like, it can be frustrating, you know, especially when you give them the information and you give them the tools and resources to make better decisions. But one of the things I learned when I was in school was about stages of change. Change is not linear. It's more circular, if anything. And also realizing that just because I'm ready for a certain part of the change to take place doesn't mean that my client is. And, you know, so keeping it, always taking it back on to what the client wants.
You're really following their cues. I'm wondering, can you describe any of your personal experience and how you've relayed that to your clients?
So my personal experience, I haven't personally been physically abused. I've suffered at the hands of, like, mental and emotional abuse. And for me, it was about, I got a lot of therapy. You know, that was a personal decision that I made. And, you know, once I was able to kind of step outside of that situation and view myself, you know, in that way, that was kind of one of the things that I realized I wanted to help other women do. But I've seen it up close in friends and family members. So it's always been a part of my life, whether directly or indirectly. And realizing that the judgment that, again, most people will have when they don't understand does more harm than good.
I was just going to say, you know, mental health therapy services, as you refer out for that, do you find that you're able to get your clients the ability to get those therapy services?
Yes. I know we're connected to a few organizations in the city that we refer to specifically, and any clients that's needed mental help, whether for themselves or for their children, that's something I take serious, because I do know the value in, you know, getting help if you feel like there is mental health issues on the table.
Yeah. Tia Love, domestic violence advocate for the ASHA Project, and taking your questions about domestic violence, assault, abusive relationships, 800-642-1234. Marcus is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Kate. So I just like to state that it's not always women that are being abused. I was actually hit by one of my kids' mothers in Children's Hospital. It was caught on camera. I hadn't provoked it. A nurse saw that she hit me. I was referred to the Sojourner Truth House, and basically they just said, you know, like, you're a guy, you know, a tough break, even though she'd hit me. And she was arrested on the grounds, because it's county grounds, so she was arrested by the sheriff. And, you know, I just like to just bring attention to the fact that it's not always women. Men can also be abused too. And unfortunately, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, it's like we should just defend ourselves, but I'm not going to put my hands on a woman, especially my child's mother.
Marcus, thanks. Tia.
Yes.
What would you say there in terms of, you know, this is not just women who are abused?
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. And our services are available to men and women. And I've, you know, I've seen men come through the door and get the same type of assistance in that we provide for women. We have a male advocate in our office who works exclusively with the men who come through. The numbers are different. But if those services are needed, which they sometimes are, we don't hesitate to provide that service. But I agree with the caller, Marcus. There do tend to be barriers to services for men because of the judgment. People look at a man who's being abused and they do kind of say that, even indirectly, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? You're a man. Why didn't you defend yourself?
Let's go to...
I don't want to invalidate Marcus's point.
Let's bring in John in Madison. John, hi.
I'm curious as to what percentage of these calls that they get are people that are just against the person that they're living with, or, you know, make up of stories regarding abuse when there's not evidence of the physical. And, you know, what it does to their lives by being involved in a situation like that. And many times one lies and the other swears to it.
Well, let's get Tia to respond there. You know, have you ever encountered a story that you found that was made up?
No. Some people do embellish or will massage the details, but any individual I've worked with who's claimed abuse, there's always been evidence to point to that fact.
Tia, as we start to wrap up here, how could we better educate ourselves on intimate partner violence and other forms of abuse?
I would suggest reading as much as possible. Don't take cues from social media, because everybody has their own opinions about things, but reading, looking up the facts and the statistics. I would suggest going to the National Center Against Domestic Violence, their website, ncadv.org, I believe. That's where I get a lot of my, or I got a lot of my information when I first started this journey, and they're constantly updating their website with information as well as resources throughout the country.
Well, Tia, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your work.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Tia Love is a domestic violence advocate for the ASHA Project. And earlier, we spoke with Tiffany Parker of Agnesian Healthcare in Fond du Lac and Monique Minkins with End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. The National Domestic Violence Hotline operates 24/7. That number is 800-799-SAFE. That's 800-799-7233. Online, it's at thehotline.org. That's thehotline.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.